Would you pray with me? Holy and blessed God, we gather together today and we pray for your presence, the movement of your Spirit, and we pray that in this life we might trust in you to be the one who gives us hope, the one who gives us our future. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a long time ago, but in my memory, it just feels like it could have been yesterday. I was standing in an extended circle of family. My maternal grandparents were there, my brothers, my parents, my aunt and uncle and cousins. And we gathered to celebrate my grandfather's 60th birthday. And as we were standing around the circle and praying as a family, I looked over at my grandfather, who was and is an important, very important person in my life. And as I looked at him and studied his face, I saw a tear running down his cheek. I thought at the time he must have been sad because he was so old. To this day, I don't know why there was a tear. But it may not have been his age. It might have been a tear of joy. But I never asked. And what he didn't know, and what I didn't know either, that he would live a rather full and productive another 28 years after that birthday party. I couldn't articulate it, but I've learned over the years the future is not about impending doom or gloom brought on by some kind of circumstances or the inevitable. But the future is a time that's filled with promise, filled with possibility, with the veiled, very real presence of God in it all. So, how do we handle the future? Do you have hopes and dreams? Is it about the promise? Truthfully, I have to admit, I don't always embrace the future with enthusiasm and hope. There are times when I'm forced to tend to and nurse the wounds on my body and in my being that are inflicted upon me by life's reality. Those times are tough. And it's always sobering when it seems to hit me right smack between the eyes. And it seems that only the grace of God and the good grace of family and friends and a community of faith that my cuts and bruises and bumps and divots in my life begin to heal. One of the phrases folks often use when they talk about the future and how we deal with it is to hold up a glass and say, what do you see, a glass half full or a glass half empty? My guess is what's going on with that illustration is if you say, well, I see it half full glass, then there's hope, anticipation, optimism, room for growth, unlimited possibilities, a bright future. On the other hand, if it's half empty, and it's just the opposite, fear, impending doom, pessimism, limited possibilities, future being uncertain, not hopeful at all. My guess, somewhere between blind optimism and crippling pessimism lies a realistic and hopeful course for life. Our text today from Luke's Gospel comes toward the end of Jesus' life. Jesus and the disciples were finally in Jerusalem, and he was in the temple where they'd been worshiping and he had been preaching and teaching. And for the Jewish people, the temple was a symbol of their strength and their resilience. Jesus' prophecy in our text about the destruction of the temple, which indeed came true 40 years, give or take a year or two, after he spoke those words. And the temple would have been destroyed, and it was destroyed, and virtually every stone, every massive stone in that edifice was not left intact. For those who heard Jesus, this was rather a radical prophecy. And for some of the disciples and others who heard him, they began to wring their hands and fret about some kind of impending doom. When's it going to happen? But Jesus continues to say, well, that's not all. And he continues to talk about hardships and persecutions and turmoil that are going to come upon them as a direct result, not just of what's happening in the world, but their relationship to him. He would be the cause. The persecution would come, be very personal, invading their own family. Would turn one family member against the other. But did you notice what Jesus says at the end? But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your soul. My guess is, if the truth be known, most of us, given all of those realities that Jesus lays out for the disciples, which they were going to experience, the turmoil, the anguish, the hardships were ahead, more than likely, most of us would have cut and run. We know, these thousands of years later, many died during those days just because they believed in Jesus. We know families were broken apart and men and women and children lost their homes. In many cases, they didn't survive. We know, since Jesus spoke those words, there have been earthquakes and super hurricanes and potent typhoons who have resulted in the deaths of hundreds and thousands and the destruction of whole communities. I just think about just what's happened within the last year. Sandy and the typhoon and earthquakes. In the face of such destruction, loss of life, so much change, can there be hope? Where's the promise? Jesus promises God's protection. Jesus promises God's presence, God's love, which never leaves. You see, that's God's future. Jesus says, hang in there, and all will be well. Hang in there, because God doesn't desert. God doesn't leave. God doesn't fail. It may not be our present definition of everything being okay, but in the end, God will triumph. In the end, God's will be accomplished. Amazing what happens when we begin to believe that not only was God's present in the past, but it's here, it's now, it's in the future. To somehow come to an understanding that God's loving purpose is going to be at work in all the places and among all the people we haven't even met yet, and in the most unlikely of circumstances, can bring such incredible peace and instill such hope. A real life story. A few weeks ago, parents of and their seventh grade son were attending their very first middle school parent-teacher conference. And after listening to their son's progress and feeling proud and humbled by his achievement, the teacher posed an interesting question. She looked at the young man's parents and she asked them, "What are your dreams and your hopes for your son as he now moves through middle school and then on to high school and beyond?" And she looked at them and she said, "Don't tell me, tell him." Wow. That's fascinating, but yet kind of unnerving. His parents took the next few minutes as they cleared their heads and focused their minds. They shared their hopes and their visions for their son publicly in a way that he could hear them and with a teacher as a witness. I asked, well, how'd it go? The parents were able to speak honestly and creatively about what they imagined and hoped for their son. They didn't talk about wanting him to be a success or rich or famous and all that stuff. But they did talk to him about discovering his dreams, his passions, his gifts, and committed to him to being supportive in his quest and his eventual goals. I guess he will long remember their words. He will long remember their intent and their will. And believe me, he will remind them of what they said. But they too will remember their words. They'll be reminded of them as they moved through their life with an adolescent, with all of the interesting twists and turns of a child becoming a man. That's transformative. Absolutely transformative for that family. So, how is it, my friends, when you and I begin to live in the reality of hope? Because hope for a person of faith is not some kind of wishful thinking, but our hope rests in the love and the grace of God. Scripture promises us that God's love is without limit, that God's presence is in our going out and in our coming in. What makes a difference, you see, is when our hopes begin to shape the reality of our lives, how we live today, how we plan for the future, the decisions which chart the course of each and every day and each and every life. When the way we view the future, how we live in the future, when we see today, you see, as the workshop of God's Spirit, then the future becomes this marvelous depository of God's grace waiting as a gift for each and every one of us. Earlier this month, I'd settled into a conversation with a member couple of Living Water, and we were talking, as often it does, about my future after my interim here at Living Water. What in the world was I going to do? What was intriguing about this next part of my life? And truthfully, I got kind of excited about it. But then the conversation turned to Living Water and its future. Then they posed to me a very interesting idea. If you could leave, they said, if you could leave maybe 3 sticky notes somewhere in your office about what you believe and what you hope for the future of Living Water, what would you write, they said. So what would I write, I wondered. Since that meeting, I've been thinking about my sticky notes. But then, I was led to another. And maybe it's even a more interesting way. What if you, part of this congregation, you as Living Water, what if you wrote down your hopes and your visions for Living Water, this, your congregation, as it lives into God's future? What if you would take time during a sermon What if you took some time right now? Just leaned into God's Spirit a bit. If you wrote down on a sticky note, it just happens to be attached in your bulletin. What if you took some time and wrote down your hopes and dreams for Living Water as it lives in God's future? You don't need to sign it. But then what if you posted it? In other words, you post it up there and share with whoever would want to read it. I guess as many of you have lived through these days of change and challenge that have marked Living Water, have marked you, my guess is many of you have hopes and visions for Living Water's future. I'm going to ask you to do that. And stick them up. I know we don't often do this during a sermon, but I think it's important as a part of our journey together these months. It may be a very important step in the next chapter of your life, of our life together at Living Water. But before you pause and think and search for a pen, would you pray with me? Holy and blessing God, may the thoughts and prayers of our hearts this day be acceptable to you. May our hopes and visions for this congregation be about your holy future for our ministry together. Quiet our hearts. Open our very being to your movement among us. Amen. Take a few moments. Here's my first sticky note. Embrace and trust God's future for living water. Be open, be daring, be faithful, be loving, be forgiving, be creative, be invitational, step outside the box, color outside the lines, be in love with Jesus, each other, and the world. Keep asking, what is God up to? Amen. Let's stand and sing together.